You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Live from the vicinity of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, where I'll be speaking today at the end of the week. So twice. So if you're in the area, you can come at 1300, because the 0800 session is already underway. You would be late for that by the time you're listening to this. Actually, it would be over. But feel free. Base Theater at 1300 if you're in the area. And listen to this. Show right up. On the show today, it's going to be a little bit shorter. And I think everybody knows that when we go into the expeditionary mode, it is... It's anything goes during the week, but this week obviously dominated by the news coming out of the Middle East. Everybody waiting Iran's response and what would be the next chapter of Qassem Soleimani's death at the hands of the United States. So we've had Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch on a number of times this week. Again, just talking about current events and things that that we've learned, you know, things to look at and whatnot. So so good morning to you on January 10th. Today is my sister Maureen's birthday, January 10th. In 2014, my sister froze to death. Yeah, she died of hypothermia as a result of alcohol poisoning and in Indianapolis, Indiana. And, you know, I show a picture of her during post-traumatic winning. I'll do it today twice. My sister Maureen had every gift that God could give somebody. She's a pretty girl. She's smart. She's driven. She's competitive. She's a fighter. She's a great athlete. But she dealt with her problems with alcohol, and so it destroyed her life. Yeah, it destroyed her life. So her birthday today, January 10th. Maureen was a big Green Bay Packer fan, right? Huge Green Bay Packer fan. And that started because she was a tomboy. She used to, you know, she used to play sports with me all the time. And when we were kids, we would, when school let out, my mom would pile us all in the car and we would drive to wherever my dad was. So Birmingham, Alabama. We'd get in the car, and we'd be in the car for 4 days as we drove across the country. And then spent the summer in Alabama. And then at the end of August, we'd come home and go back to school. And they were always, you know, great adventures. But I didn't have a brother. And I used to play wiffle ball, go fishing with Maureen. Right? Peggy's older than me and wasn't much of a tomboy, although she'd play. But Maureen, you know, she'd go play catch with you, you know, we'd go, you know, whatever. So she, Maureen grew up and, she was a great athlete. When she went to high school, they have a Powder Puff football game. She went to an all girls Catholic high school, Bishop Minogue High School in Sacramento, California. And they had a football game. And they would divide the school. They had their own homecoming week centered around this football game in the fall. And they would divide the school. Now, looking back, you know, not very politically correct now, and you wouldn't do it like this today. But they divided the school between cowboys and Indians. And I don't know. I think Maureen was an Indian. I'm not exactly sure. But so when she was a freshman, right, she had never played in this game, and so she's a freshman in high school, and she tries out for the team, and she's the quarterback of the football team as a freshman, and you know, she could, like I said, when I say she was a good athlete, there's no joke about that. She was a good athlete, and so the day the football game comes. And I'm not sure if she had told us. She might have told us that the first play, you know, so Powder Puff football, right? I mean, it's a lot of running plays and not a whole lot of throwing the ball, right? I mean, back in, this would have been 1978. No, I went to high school in 72. She would have gone in 74. So this would have been the fall of 1974. You know, I mean, girl sports were nearly what they are today. But Maureen was an anomaly. So I remember standing there with my dad and my cousin Tom. And I think we knew what the first play was going to be. And Maureen was going to throw this long post, right, to one of their wide receivers. And, you know, a play that probably, I don't know, had ever been seen in that game. And so they snapped the ball. Here's my you know, sister from ninth grade. And she throws a laser. Hits this girl right in the hands in stride. And this girl runs, whatever. I think it was a 60-yard field. This girl ran 50 yards. And the place went crazy. And we were standing there laughing. And she did that for 4 years. And, you know, the local television stations would come out, you know, to film this thing. And so they start asking about this girl. You know, my dad at the time is in Major League Baseball. And it becomes a story in the city. You know, John McNamara's daughter is this great football player. So she would be on TV every year doing her shit, right? And she loved it. You know, she loved it. And it was awesome. It was awesome. She once, in a practice game against another high school. So there was her high school, and they played each other, right? I told you they split the school in half. And there was another girls' high school in town, St. Francis High School. And they did the same thing. They had a girls' football team. So Maureen's team is playing one of their teams. And Maureen's running, I want to say, some kind of option play. And she's running around the corner, right? She's running around the corner to turn the play upfield. And this girl, I still know her name because she was my age. So my sister's like either a freshman or a sophomore. I think she was a sophomore. And I'm a senior. Again, I'm standing there with my dad and my cousin Tom. And I don't know if Tom was there or not this day, but normally he was. And so my sister turns the corner, and Mimi Hawking comes running towards her and kind of breaks down because it was flag football. So they wear T-shirts and flags, right? So Mimi Hawking kind of breaks down, and Maureen comes running on the corner. Maureen puts her head down, right? Maureen puts her head down and runs right over Mimi Hawking, right? Mimi Hawking tries. She's like roadkill, man, like right in front of the semi-truck. And Maureen gets up grabbing her forehead, Mimi Hawking screaming, grabbing her mouth. And Maureen had chipped her front teeth. And her teeth were in Maureen's forehead. And so Maureen's got, she's got both hands on her forehead. She's like, ah. And so the coach, a guy named Clarence Gandy, his brother Chris is a great athlete in Sacramento, signed with the Dodgers. And I played baseball with Chris. And the Gandys were a great family. And so Clarence looks at Maureen and then, you know, and then sends her over to my dad and I. And we're standing there. And so she comes walking over, and she's got to go to the, right? She needs stitches, clearly. These girls, when Maureen stood up, the girls' teeth fell out of her head. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so she comes walking over, and we're standing there. And she looks at my dad, and she says, and my dad and I both look at it, and she says, "Can I play?" And my dad looks at her and says, "I don't know. Can you?" She said, "Yeah." And he said, "So what are you doing over here?" And so she turns around. Now everybody's watching this, right? Maureen, you know, she walks back towards her coach and she says, "I need a Band-Aid." Right? And she put, and I think that wasn't too long before the big game. And so in the big game, she's playing with this Band-Aid on her forehead. Yeah. Yeah. So it was, yeah, and let me tell you, she loved that shit too. She loved that shit. And, but Maureen was a great athlete. She was a great athlete. And, you know, you look back in your life, and you grow up with people and then the crooked path of life. And so my sister, you know, passed away 6 years ago. And she's in post-traumatic winning, so I see her picture on a fairly regular basis. And it's still hard for me to believe. Still hard for me to believe, but, you know, I see so much of it that I know my family's not been exempted from it. And, you know, and I try to use her story to help other people. So on her birthday, she would have been 60 today. She would not have been happy about that. But so happy birthday to my little sister. And let's see. It is Friday. So Whitney Houston will make Friday official as she sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to Marines at New River, who I met yesterday. And you guys follow this, and it's the experience is just on a daily basis is stunning. And yesterday, I met a sergeant major by the name of Golden at New River. And, you know, he stood up and talked to his Marines about a former infantryman, now, you know, being a sergeant major in the 2nd Marine Air Wing. And he was awesome. And it's just, you know, it makes you feel so good watching leaders like that who care. And but I will tell you what, there's a lot of leaders that are afraid to talk about what they've been through. And then you see guys that aren't, that say, let me tell you about me. You know, I walked down this path. And I mean, it's just classic, you know, it's the classic path of, you know, of Marines and sailors. You know, and anybody who's been through trauma over time. And the most well-worn path is, I don't know what to do, but I can get through this, and I don't talk about it. And then it gets worse as you're isolated, and then you start drinking, and drinking feels good, but it makes it worse. But you can't stop, and you get to a bad place. And, you know, he talked about what changed his life. His wife, who he met when he was 15, and they're still together. And what it took him to do. And when you sit there and you watch young Marines watch this, and again, it's what, as you all know, it's what I call the first table flipping moment. But it never gets old to watch. And it never gets old to watch the reaction. There was a first lieutenant came up to me during the first break. She's an Osprey pilot, I'm pretty sure. And she talked to me about a Naval Academy graduate, talked to me about watching her mother die when she was 17 and the impact it had on her. And then when she went to Naval Academy, she used to do this thing in their orientation, saying that, you know, you're going to have problems. And she'd tell her story. And she said, I was blown away by the number of, you know, plebes, right, first-year students at the Naval Academy that would come up to me and want to talk to me about things that were going on in their life. I said, no, that's the power of just telling the truth. Just telling the truth about, you know, who you are and what's going on in your life. So many people are going through a similar version of it, but since everybody's faking it, we all think we're doing it alone. And that is simply not the case. So, to a lieutenant, to Sergeant Major Golden, and the Marines of the 2nd Air Wing again, this is dedicated to them. And also to my sister Maureen on her 60th birthday.
Our flag. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather here in Marineland on a Friday. Currently cloudy and 38 in Quantico. It is cloudy and 48 here at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. Twin Palms, it is dark, clear, and 43. Camp Pendleton, dark, clear, and 42. So continues cold on the west coast, where I'll head back to tomorrow. Camp Smith in Hawaii is dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. Listen to that. That's what you call a computer slowing down. So we'll just get rid of that. I don't know the cause of that. Because I just put more RAM in my computer, so I'm kind of... Now it's better again. Anyway, interesting. Dark cloudy in 69 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. In Okinawa, dark cloudy 61. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, just north of Iran, it is cloudy and 57 in the provincial capital of the Helmand province, where Task Force Southwest is. I just had dinner with a lieutenant that's headed that direction. So I said, good luck, man. Happy hunting. And now he's fired up. Never deployed. Never been to Afghanistan. So I said, it'll be a great experience. Something you'll never forget in your life. Late in the afternoon, it is cloudy and 59 in Ramadi in the Al Anbar province of Iraq. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's 48 degrees with fair skies, dark though, and feels like 45. Looking for a high today of 66 degrees, 64 tomorrow. That is a look at your weather here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. We'll check news headlines. No chef today. We'll check news headlines, and that's as good as it gets today. So, more of that coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally.
Here on a Friday, Peyton fired up earlier this week. She's, I think, gonna be able to get do some work in Europe, yeah, touring bases or something like that. So we'll get her back on the program and we'll catch up with Peyton Davis, a post-traumatic winner in her own right. Now, if you don't know Peyton's story. Her father committed suicide when she was a junior in high school. And she was the one that actually went to his house with the police when he hadn't responded for several days and found him. And F-18 man, Peyton's his niece, he's the one that told her about this. And so she sung that song at MCRD in San Diego a few months ago. So our paths might cross again here in the post-traumatic winning pattern as I head down to her neck of the woods, and we'll see what we can do together. So it's always cool when, you know, and what Peyton did was she stood up and she told her, you know, her story. And then talked about how, you know, she bumped into post-traumatic winning through her uncle. And what it's done for her life. And I think it's one of the things that's powerful for Marines is that, you know, this is not a Marine thing. Although, you know, all of it comes from our culture. And I think the more examples you draw on from outside the Marine Corps, from people's personal lives and people that, you know, have never served, you know, you open people's eyes to, you know, how significant this is, how big the problem is, and the fact that for the rest of their life, they're going to be able to do something about it, which is pretty cool. So anyway, that'd be Peyton Davis, your very own post-traumatic wing Peyton Davis. So we'll check some news headlines and maybe broaden the lens a little bit as the hysteria that has surrounded Iran for the past week, I won't say subsides a bit because it's still everywhere, but we'll broaden the lens a little bit. You know, the stories that you see sometimes are stunning, right? Two airmen found dead in a dormitory room in Germany. Military officials at Spangdahlem Air Base are investigating the deaths of two airmen found dead in a base dormitory room. The airmen were found unresponsive at 6:30 p.m., pronounced dead 20 minutes later by emergency responders. It's been a rough few months for the wing. As two airmen died in a car crash, the cause of the crash has not been released. In October, a staff sergeant by the name of Mayfield died from injuries received in a car crash in the United States while he was headed to his next duty station. So they had a significant loss of life there. You read these stories and, you know, you're just, I don't know, you cross your fingers. The most high-profile headline today in Stars and Stripes is an Army general has denied the request by one of the officers pardoned by President Trump to have his Special Forces tab reinstated. So, again, we'll see where this goes. We saw what happened in the Gallagher case. But Major Matthew Goldstein was denied on December 3rd by Lieutenant General Francis Baudet, the commander of U.S. Army Special Operations Command. The Army disclosed Thursday Baudet's decision is not final, and the service said in a statement that it will next have an administrative panel consider whether it should reinstate the Special Forces tab and a Distinguished Service Cross, the military's second highest award for valor, and expunge a letter of reprimand Goldstein received in connection for the case. He was awaiting trial this year in the alleged murder of a suspected Taliban bomb maker in Marja in February of 2010. The service first opened an investigation into Goldstein after he disclosed the killing in a 2011 polygraph as the CIA was considering him for a job. So, you know, very high-profile case. And again, this is what the SEALs wanted to do. And the president, got involved. So we'll see how this lasts. And really, what's, in my opinion, amazing about the story is if you read what these guys did, right? The president saved them from military justice. And this whole thing about, you know, oh, you know, they're fighting for our country. Everybody who goes over there understands the difference between fighting for your country and murder. Everybody does. And we know the difference. And then what these guys have done, led by Gallagher, is they've gotten away with murder. And then they've jammed it up everybody's ass. I want this. I want this. I want this. And you can't touch me because I have the top cover of the President of the United States. So it's been kind of disgusting to watch. And there's a lieutenant in that group too. And if you read the stories, you know, that his, you know, of the interviews with his soldiers, they're rip shit about that stuff. Next headline from Stars and Stripes. AFRICOM boss orders senior officers to Kenya to investigate deadly attacks. I haven't seen a good explanation of how a soldier was killed earlier this week in Africa. Now again, mind you, this comes on the heels of 4 Green Berets being killed in Africa. How did this happen? U.S. Africa Command General Stephen Townsend said Thursday he has dispatched a team to Kenya to investigate the terrorist attack that left 1 soldier dead and 2 American contractors dead. Quote, "I want ground truth to assess the situation and hear from the troops to ensure they have what they need to accomplish the mission." Why are we continuing to do this shit on the backside of these incidents? Wasn't the thing that happened in Afghanistan good enough for us to review the posture of all of our units there to make sure that they're buttoned up, that they have the security they need? Senior U.S. Africa Command officials on Thursday visited Camp Simba and the nearby Manda Bay airfield, which was the scene of Sunday's assault by al-Shabaab. AFRICOM sent a quick reaction force out of Djibouti to Kenya in the wake of the attack to bolster security. Yeah, that's always good. That's always good. Hang somebody's ass out, don't have enough security, and then send people there after the fact. And again, it's AFRICOM again. During the clash, Army Specialist Henry Mayfield, 23, was killed. Also killed was a DOD contractor, a pilot, and another contractor who hasn't been named publicly. 5 U.S. aircraft were destroyed and 1 was damaged during the attack. So, whatever these aircraft were supporting was pinching al-Shabaab, and they got after it. But again, why are we doing this ex post facto? Somebody needs to supervise AFRICOM, right? Before it was General Waldhauser, Marine, right? You have people out there in harm's way, and you don't know for a fact whether they're secure or not. Interesting. And you know what you'd get? You'd get the, oh, Mac, you know, you don't understand, wah, 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 wah. All I know is this, it's your responsibility for their lives. And if you didn't take it seriously or you fucked it up, then maybe you should go away. Maybe somebody should look at AFRICOM and say, there will be no more incidents like this. You get the people you need, and if you don't have it, you better request them. If you don't request it and anything like this happens again, right, your ass is done. President Trump, I'm looking at USNI News website, President Trump has called on NATO to become more involved in the Middle East. So he's calling on Francois Macron in Germany, the UK. UK pretty involved wherever we go. UK pretends to be there with us. To be more involved. Well, that'll be interesting to see if that happens. Been a few days since we checked Marine Corps Times out. So we'll check headlines, so we'll check the top 5 stories in early bird, and then I'm out the door headed to Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. The headline, Squadron unveils memorial for KC-130J Marines killed during a 2018 refueling collision in Japan. I got emailed by a number of people a ProPublica piece that is circulating on this on these collisions. It's done with the commanding officer who was relieved, and essentially what they're blaming, and again, ProPublica if you take a look at who they are and what they published, what they do is they do investigative journalism, right? But I think there's some things that are left out of it that are pretty germane. They say that the investigation whitewashed some of the facts. That's essentially their thesis. Well, you know, this guy, the commanding officer, he's not asked about a similar incident that happened 2 years prior to this event. The investigation was never completed. So were the lessons from that? Were they learned? Were they heeded? The biggest thing that they showed here in that was a schematic of a diagram and the graphics of how it happened. Both aircraft approached the tanker, and they're refueling on separate wings, right? The lead is on the under the right wing, and the pilot that causes the crash is underneath the left wing, right? They disengage, and it's customary for the non-lead aircraft to then transition below and then to the right of the lead aircraft, which would have been, off of the right wing of the KC-130J. Well, as he's doing this, right, he gets over there, then in that move that was described in an interview and in the investigation where they say, no, we're gonna turn on our afterburners and leave on both sides of the KC-130J, right? He begins to transition back, and in that transition back, he clips the KC-130J. So that's the biggest thing I learned watching it is, and there's a whole series of things. And the other thing that the ProPublica piece focuses on is the lack of the rapid response. That's probably the primary thing it focuses on. Is that, and I can't remember the pilot's name, forgive me, but he had a watch on. And it tracked his, I don't know if it was one of an Apple Watch or one of those Fitbit watches or what, but it tracked his pulse rate and how long he was alive after he hit the water. And he was alive for like 8 hours in the water, and they didn't find him. Slow response by Americans, slow response by Japanese. And talking about the water was 68 degrees, so the water wasn't cold. And so, yep. So, anyway, the squadron unveils a memorial for those Marines that were killed in the KC-130J. Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Herman, Major James Brophy, Staff Sergeant Maximo Alexander Flores, Corporal Daniel Baker, Corporal William Ross were all killed in the accident. So, not a good story. Not a good story. MCRD had their Facebook page name changed to Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So somebody hacked their Facebook page. We'll talk about that here in a second. Another interesting article about Duncan Hunter. Marine veteran Duncan Hunter resigns from Congress after corruption conviction. Republican Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican from California, submitted his resignation on Tuesday, 1 month after pleading guilty to a corruption charge, leaving vacant one of the GOP's few remaining House seats in heavily Democratic California. So, former Marine Duncan Hunter resigns from Congress. I'm not going to play the audio where he says, there's no crime against being poor. There's not. There is a crime when you misuse campaign funds. So, anyway, $30,000 bonuses for former reserve pilots to return to the Marine Corps as it tries to fill gaps in the ranks of its aviation community. And then tell you what, we'll check out the top five stories in Early Bird, because there's a couple of stories that are both interesting and a couple we've been following throughout the course of the week. So we'll do that. And then again, no chef today, only 1 hour of All Marine Radio, so you're going to have to suck it up. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Trump says Iran is standing down after missile attacks. Well, we shall see. We shall see. Right? And again, the Iranians have always been good at asymmetrical or hybrid warfare, and we'll see. But again, the response to that is the Vito Corleone response. So we'll see how that dance plays out. Number two, General Milley says Iran launched ballistic missiles intended to kill. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Given the advanced targeting, I don't believe that. If they were looking to produce casualties, they could have done it. They could have followed those attacks with other attacks, with rockets, with mortars. If they wanted to kill Americans, they have the militias in place to do it. They didn't have to launch the noisemakers with great video and fanfare. So, I think that's part of playing the game, General Milley's comments, but there's too many ways Iranians, and you've heard Jeff Kenney talk about, the precarious position that our advisors find themselves in, right? With Iranian sponsored militias all over the place. And every one of those were kept quiet and they shot noisemakers into the desert. Kind of interesting, don't you think? Yeah. Do you believe in coincidences? I don't. And so, again, I've said it, all week, but I believe that it was back channeled to the United States, probably through Iraq, that, hey, allow us to respond. We will not inflict any damage. And we're not interested in a war with the United States. So, to me, again, I don't believe in coincidences in the Middle East. They did exactly what they wanted to do. Number three, launch inside the Trump administration as Iranian missiles began to fall. That's from the Washington Post. So, yeah, you can get a blow-by-blow description of it. Number four, rockets slammed Baghdad's green zone. Now, those rockets would be from, militia. Number five. Here's how U.S. and Iranian forces compare in the Middle East. Yeah, it's, if you want to read that, not much of a comparison. Stories about the Iran confrontation. Trump wants NATO more involved in the Middle East. Iraqi Shiite cleric whose militia killed American troops says crisis is over following the Iran strike and the Trump speech. Now, it's interesting. Muqtada al-Sadr telling his militia to stand down. Doing his part to de-escalate. So it's a pretty interesting dance. Now, again, just for the record, the headline, I think his militia fought Americans, right? But if you look at his statements and the things he's done after the base, he is not an Iranian guy. He's an Iraqi guy. And his statement was, I want all troops. Right, all food troops out of Iraq. Military Times has an article. See the damage at Al-Assad airbase following the Iranian missile attack. Next headline: Democrats GOP divided after Iran briefing from the Trump administration official. The DHS has issued a warning, prepare for the worst from Iran's cyber attacks, according to experts. Those are other headlines. I don't think anybody, and Tim Lynch talked about it, a couple days ago, but or yesterday. But I don't think anybody doubts what happened with that Iran, with that Ukrainian, you know, jet, and you know, that the Iranians destroyed it. For what reason? I mean, God only knows. Again, do you believe in coincidences? Is it just incompetence? Most likely course of action, incompetence and confusion as people panic. So, so that very interesting. So, on that note, keep your eye on that. Although, I don't know what comes with it. What does Ukraine do? What does Ukraine do when one of these things happen? And what, 73 Canadians on it? You know, horrible. Why are aircraft still flying in that situation? Right? Like, what the hell? And if that was a sensitive area, why weren't, if you were going to let them fly, why wouldn't you reroute them? So anyway, I don't know. Just stupid. Stupid. As we get out the door today, I just want to, for those of you that listen to All Marine Radio on a regular basis, I mean, what an awesome week. Sergeant Major Reif, the Sergeant Major of 2nd Marine Air Wing, hasn't been able to be here. And he's the driver of this. He had seen what post-traumatic winning had done in the 2nd Marine Division and the effect of it, and lobbied to get it done in the 2nd Marine Air Wing. And it's been a phenomenal week. It'll continue today with Marines that are part of the 2nd Marine Division that have never seen it. And this is a payback for when I was out here in August. Sergeant Major Reif said, look, I know I didn't pay for any of this, but if you have some free time, could you come over to New River and do this? So we went over to New River and did it maybe twice, I think, and spent a day over there. And General Furness went over there and introduced it. So this is the payback for that. So looking forward to it. My oldest son will be in attendance this afternoon, and I'm not going to wear a brusher. but I'm, you know, proud that he'll be there anyway. And hopefully he's proud to go. But no, it's been a huge reminder to me, as I said on this week, the number of destroyed families we have in our country is huge. The amount of bad parenting out there, I don't know, to me is astounding. And the number of damaged young people is astounding. And then they get excreted into the world that they're not prepared for, because they've been told for so long that their feelings are so important. And then they go into a world that doesn't give a shit about their feelings. And they try to sort it out. And so, you know, if you're a parent out there, you got to be a better parent. You got to prepare your kids for the real world, not the bullshit make-believe shit that the school district puts out. That doesn't help kids at all. Give them what they need, not what they want. That's a quote from Eric Smith when he was a battalion commander in Ramadi. When they come off patrol, when they come out of the field, what do they want? They want to eat and go play video games. What do they need? They need to clean their weapons. They need to PM the vehicles. They need to fill sandbags. So that's what they do. That's my responsibility, to bring them home alive. So, anyway, it's been a great week, and today will be, you know, great. And then on Monday, do post-traumatic winning from Kent Pendleton for Marine Wing Support Squadron 372. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're in the area down there and you want to come, shoot me an email. Be my personal guest. But on a Friday, have a great one. All Marine Radio, over and out.